Well, good morning. Let's open our hearts now to hear God's word. And the reading is from Matthew 25, which will come up on the screen. You can follow it there or in your Bibles. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 30. And this is Jesus speaking. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us, for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away, taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you, Ed. Let's keep that Bible reading open. In fact, chapter 24 and 25 open in front of you. We're going to spend a little bit of time in those two chapters. Before we do, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your word, which we just heard read to us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is amongst us. And we pray that you will work in our hearts this morning. Lord, helping us to understand and helping us, Lord, also to put your word into practice. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the past few weeks, as you know, we've been thinking about being followers and witnesses of Jesus. In fact, this is part of our mission statement, isn't it? We've been thinking about what it means to be followers and witnesses of Jesus. And we are going to think about this morning about the theme of waiting. Waiting from Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Followers of Jesus are those who are waiting. Now, we are well and truly into the Christmas or the Advent season, isn't it? Thanks to Bev and the team, we've got some beautiful decorations up on the walls. Thank you very much for taking that time. And you will see nativity scenes and you'll hear Christmas carols and all reminding us that 2,000 years ago, on the very first Christmas, God ended a long, long, long wait. God sent his only son, Jesus, to the world to be born in a manger, keeping his promises that he would send a savior to the world. But this Jesus, as you read the scriptures, we realize that he grew up. And according to God's plan, he actually died on a cross to take the punishment for our sins. And according to God's plan, he didn't stay dead, but he came back to life after 3 days. And he was ascended into heaven. And in the book of Acts, we read that as he was taken up into heaven, the angels tell the disciples, "This same Jesus who you see being taken up into heaven from you, he will return the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And Jesus himself spent a considerable time about talking about his return, right? Here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives them signs and wonders, signs and warnings of the end of the age. Things that will take place before his return. In verse 30 to 34 in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "No one will miss when he comes a second time. On the clouds of the sky, with loud trumpet calls." And although there will be signs of the end of the age, verse 36, we are told that Jesus says, no one will know the day or the hour of his return. Not the angels, not even the Son, but only the Father. No one will miss him, but it will be sudden. Now, this second coming of our Lord Jesus is one of the important pillars of Christian faith, isn't it? It's like this completion of a cycle. When Jesus returns, he will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll return as the Judge. And at his return, there'll be new heavens and a new earth. The old order of things will be gone. And this age will end. The new age will begin. And those who have believed in Jesus will formally and fully enter life in the kingdom of God. We will spend eternity with God. Now, a couple of weeks ago at our growth group, someone asked the question, why would anyone want to spend eternity? Why would anyone want to live eternally? I mean, now that's a legitimate question, isn't it? There's so much suffering, there's so much pain and brokenness in the world. Why would anyone want to live forever? Our group answered the question really well, so top marks to you if you were part of my growth group. We talked about eternal life. We're not talking about eternal suffering. We are talking about exact opposite of what we are experiencing right here, right now, isn't it? It will be a time and a place where there's no more brokenness. No more pain, crying, suffering, no more tears, no more sin or sinners. Now we won't have these sick bodies. They'll be changed, renewed in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be given immortal, imperishable bodies, and death will not be part of this new order. And most importantly, it is life with God forever. Now, if you have become a follower of Jesus, if you have believed in Jesus, this is what you signed up for. Eternal life with God. This is the inheritance we have been promised when we put our faith in Jesus. The goal of our faith. Well, some say, well, no point in waiting, you know, like we've been waiting for 2,000 years and it's never going to come. Some even say like this is something that the church made up to kind of keep the people fearful and control people. And this is something nothing new, right? Even in the first century, the Apostle Peter had to deal with this sort of thinking. And he says the reason why Jesus is delaying his coming is not because he doesn't want to come. Not because he is lazy, not because he's changed his mind. No, he says, according to Apostle Peter, he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And Jesus says, the end will not come until the good news of Jesus is preached all over the world. God, who is faithful to his promises, who is always faithful to his promises, has promised that Jesus will return. And like the Jews in the Old Testament who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, now if you are a follower of Jesus, we are waiting. We are waiting for Jesus' return. But then how do we wait? How do we wait for Jesus' return? What should we be doing? What should be our attitude, our outlook as we wait? In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus tells four parables. Now, parable is a story, an earthly story with a heavenly or a spiritual meaning. These four stories illustrates four things that the followers of Jesus should be doing while we wait for his return. Now, I won't go into all the details of these parables. Rather, I'll draw the main point of each of these parables. The first parable is in chapter 24, verses 42 to 44. We didn't read that. It's coming up on the screen. In these verses, Jesus describes his return as a thief in the night. And the difference is Jesus is not like a thief who will come to steal and destroy. No, he comes to give life. Now, thieves, if they are good, there are no good thieves, right? If they are clever thieves, right, they will not tell you when they are coming. Recently, our car got broken into, and if they had told us that there's one guy, random guy, walking around Island Street looking for cars that are unlocked, we would have locked our car. But we didn't, because we did not expect. The aim of this parable is watchfulness, isn't it? Watchfulness. And this is what some of us are not doing with Jesus' return. We are not expectant. We are not watchful. To be watchful means we must nurture a healthy expectation of the second coming of Jesus. Don't ignore the promises, the warnings of Scripture. Read the Bible about Jesus' return. Study passages like 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or the book of Revelation, the two letters of Peter. Because when we constantly feed our mind about Jesus' second coming, our whole world view will begin to change, isn't it? We will begin to long for heaven. We will begin to store treasures in heaven rather than here on earth. We won't worry about what we have or what we don't have. When we are watchful, we won't get distracted by our momentary minor struggles, but we will look forward for eternal glory. When we are watchful, we will be joyful when we are facing death, not fearful. Because we know beyond that day, it will be glorious. It will be glorious. So be watchful, Jesus says. And the second parable is in verses 45 to 51 of chapter 24. Now Jesus tells of a master who appoints one of his servants to be in charge of his household, making sure that everybody else is fed and the place is looked after and everything is done at the right time. Now this servant has a choice to make, right? Decision to make. To be responsible while the master is away and faithful to him. Or be careless. Be careless. And when the master returns, we are told that the faithful servant is rewarded. But the unfaithful servant is punished. The point Jesus is making in this parable is to be faithful. To be faithful. The waiting disciple must be faithful and wise, responsible with what God has entrusted to them. So I wonder, what has God entrusted to you this season? What has God entrusted to you this season? It could be your spiritual life. It could be your work, studies, a family, children, a friend. It could be a ministry. To be faithful means to be responsible for our own spiritual growth. To be pure and blameless. We must be responsible with the good news that God has given us, sharing it with as many as possible. We must be responsible with God's creation. We must be responsible with the roles that God has given us as husbands and wives, parents, caregivers, pastors, bosses, that we care for those who are under us. Those whom God has given us. And we must be responsible in the work that we do, doing it for God, not to please men or women. So as we wait, friends, we must be watchful and we must be faithful. And the third parable, which is in the first 13 verses of chapter 25, Jesus calls the disciples to be ready. To be ready as we wait. Now there's a slight difference between being watchful and being ready, isn't it? Now people can be watchful expecting a storm to hit. They could be checking the news. They could be listening to the news or checking the radar or looking at the clouds and talking about it. But being ready means to move your car from under a tree. Being ready means to tie any loose items. Being ready means to clear the gutters and bring the clothes in. You see, people can be watchful but not ready. Here in this parable, we are told about 10 virgins who were watchful, right? They were very watchful, expectant. They were expecting the bridegroom to come. They all had lamps. But we are told only 5 were ready with extra oil. And they were ready to meet the bridegroom anytime, now or later, sooner or later. And as the story is told, the bridegroom is late. And he comes in the middle of the night. And only those who are ready with their lamps burning could join the celebration. The ones who weren't ready misses out, and the door is shut on them, and they are shut out of the banquet. As we wait, each of us must be watchful and ready. And notice one more thing in this parable. You would have picked it up. Readiness is not transferable. You cannot depend on somebody else's readiness for you to go into God's kingdom. You cannot depend on your parents. You cannot depend on your spouse. You cannot depend on your friend's readiness. Each person must be ready. Now, what might it look like to be ready? This is where I'm going to get you to chat amongst yourselves. What do we need to do to be ready for Jesus' return? Just have a chat with people around you and just think about, what does it look like? Huh? There you go. Yeah, you got some ideas from your friends, people around you. Now this morning, if you haven't believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, let me tell you as lovingly as possible, you are not ready. You're not ready. Don't plan to stand before the judgment seat. It will be a dreadful day for you. Don't play with hell. For you to be ready means to repent and trust in Jesus. And as we saw earlier, Jesus is delaying his coming just so that you might get in. Don't take your chances with your good deeds or excuses. Do it today. Because friends, so many people have experienced this. There may not be a tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. And if you are a follower of Jesus, praise God. Being ready means to keep trusting in Jesus. Be joyful. Keep growing spiritually. Have good, healthy disciplines of spiritual disciplines, reading the Bible, having a good prayer life. Don't let a day go by without your sins being confessed. Don't let a day go by without forgiving someone who has hurt you or receiving forgiveness. The Bible says, have no debt except love. Being ready for you means seeking God and His righteousness, dealing with any grievances that you may have had. So let me ask you this morning, if Jesus returns, I mean this is a very cheesy thing that people used to ask, if Jesus returns tonight, it's true, isn't it? Are you ready? Will you be ready? If not, Will you do something about it? Will you do something about it today? The last parable we are looking at this morning is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. The point of the parable is productiveness, being fruitful as we wait for Jesus to return. Just like these three servants, most of you know this, you read this, you heard it being read. Like these three servants, God has given each one of us resources according to our abilities. You see, everyone, not all the servants got the same amount of gold or the money. Different abilities for different people. Now these could be spiritual gifts, your natural abilities. These could be privileges or opportunities or a status that you have. Some of us have more responsibilities and authority given to us than others. Some carry more burdens than others. It could be money or wealth. It could be time that you have than others. It could be qualifications or training or life experience. The point is, God has given each one of us gifts to be used for His glory in His kingdom. Mine is different to yours, and yours is different to mine. In the parable, these two servants who had been productive, effectively, they doubled the things that the master gave them, right? And they are commended equally. You see, Jesus is not looking at how much, He's looking at your faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, Jesus says, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But the third servant, who instead of being fruitful, he was being excuseful, wasn't he? Lots of excuses. The very reason this third servant isn't productive is he didn't really believe his master. He didn't really respect. He didn't really have a relationship. His master's business was not his business. And he is rebuked, called wicked, lazy, worthless, and he's thrown out into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the same way, friends, when Jesus returns, we all will have to give an account of what we have been given. How have we used them? What have we done with the gifts that God has given us? I hope you're getting the point. As we wait for Jesus to return, we are not called, we are not meant to fold our hands and then just do nothing. We are to be wise, productive, fruitful, using whatever God has given for His glory to build His kingdom. Using the gifts God has given us to serve Him and His people, to build His kingdom, to make our master's business our business. So what has God given you this season? And are you being productive? Are you being fruitful? Or is it going to waste? Or have you hidden it under a rock or buried in a hole in the ground? See, friends, Jesus will return one day. We don't know when. We know He will return, and it will be a glorious day. And while we wait for that day, will He find us watchful? Will He find us faithful, ready, and productive? How will He find us the day He returns? In a moment, we are going to take part in communion. Communion is for believers, those who have followed Jesus or following Jesus. Because as we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we remind ourselves, don't we, what God has done to make us ready, make us fit for heaven. The death and the resurrection of Jesus, the one who had no sin, died for us. He became sin for us. He took on himself our sin. And now we are free from slavery to sin. And we are free to live for God as we wait for Jesus' return. So before we take part in communion, I'm going to give us a moment to just reflect on what we've just heard this morning. And if you need to make a commitment, if you need to do something, may you take this moment to do that. All right? Let's take a couple of moments in silence to reflect on what we've just heard. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful because you are a faithful God. Thank you for this season where we remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus in a manger as a baby. Lord, we thank you for the promise that Jesus who returned to heaven will return back to earth. And we thank you for the gloriousness of that day. What a joy would it be for those of us who believe in Jesus. But Father, help us not to be ignorant. Help us to be watchful, faithful, ready, and productive. Father, forgive us for the times when we haven't done that. Forgive us for the times when we have just lived our lives thinking that you will never return. So renew our hopes this morning, we pray. Even as we think about the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Renew our hopes. Renew our desire. And Father, we pray this morning as we eat this bread and drink from the cup, that we will never forget the cost of making us fit for heaven. Your cost. That you had to give up on your own son. And Jesus had to die for us on that cross. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The words of the Apostle Paul regarding communion. The Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" What a privilege we have this morning, friends, to remember and celebrate a death and a resurrection, because that has brought us life. Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So let us eat bread in remembrance and give thanks. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, a new relationship that we have with God through Jesus." All of us have this relationship with one another and with God. So let us give thanks to the death and the resurrection of Jesus as we drink this cup together. Allow me to pray. Yes, gracious God, we are so thankful for this morning. Oh, that we have this privilege of sitting under your word, reminding ourselves of your love and the hope that we have. And so, Father, keep us in this hope, waiting, watchful, faithful, ready and productive. In Jesus' name, amen.